Welcome to Family Matters, sponsored by MAPS, Men Are Part Solution. I'm Oswald Saw. I'll be your host today. MAPS is a programming service that includes counseling and transitional housing. And actually, our transitional house is called the Phoenix House. Over the next two shows, we will be talking to some of our current and past clients of the house, and just to hear the stories, but also most importantly to learn from them. Based on our shared experiences, these guys have a lot to teach us, and we are honored to have them with us. So first of all, I'd like to welcome Charles Bonner. Charles, welcome to Family Matters, and thank you for being here today. So Charles, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from?
Okay, I'm from Nelson House. Okay. And growing up in Nelson House, there were quite a bit of, a lot of alcoholism, and a lot of drinking, a lot of pretty much some poverty, not enough food, and basically families and other people had gone out fishing, hunting. That was the only resources is to getting food. And so us children, we were allowed to go to school during the summer, and in the winter times we'd be out, you know, hunting or fishing with our parents. I was mostly raised up by my grandparents, where I got to, you know, learn about the teachings and, you know, learn from right from wrong from them, and, you know, how to be more independent.
Okay.
And how to live off the land and how to, you know, survive.
How large is your family, Charles? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I only have two sisters. I'm the youngest one, and I'm the only boy.
You know? Oh, yeah?
So
okay.
Growing up with two sisters wasn't that easy. It was pretty... we managed, and we managed to, you know, seasonally go out hunting, fishing, and during the summer be in school.
Okay.
And that's how it was kept on. But growing up, me remembering, there was quite a lot of drinking, a lot of neglect, a lot of, you know, you really had to mature pretty fast, and, you know, didn't give me a chance to grow up as a kid. I had to be an adult, like, be more, because my sisters weren't around all the time, so
okay.
I had to manage by my friends were pretty supportive, and, you know, the community and whoever, you know, the student, the teachers were pretty supportive at times, and so it was tough.
When was the first time you had a drink?
Oh, I was pretty young at that age, probably around 14, 15.
Okay.
Where everybody was passed out. Me and my friends would, you know, just go in the house and booze laying everywhere. So we just, you know, curious and wonder why they're all sleeping. Are they, you know, just figuring there was something wrong, but they were all drunk and passed out. So we just... whatever was laying around, I guess.
So you came to the Phoenix House, and I know this is you actually were one of the first people there.
Me and Jules.
What brought you to the decision?
Because the decision was that I needed to, you know, to further my understanding and try to figure out how to go about my drinking problem. And the Phoenix House had, you know, access to and resources to, you know, ongoing programs and to attend AA meetings, and it worked out pretty good for me. And, you know,
is there a time you had like an aha moment? You know, if Tim has an aha moment. Is there, what was your aha moment?
For me, my first few years, I relapsed, but I learned that, you know, I was talking to to Michelle and Tracy and the worker I have now is Lori at the AFM. I talk to her every 2 weeks or every week we meet. We talk about certain situations or where I'm at, and she just wanted me to get out of focus and to, you know, focus on my drinking and just to maintain and be aware and, you know, not to let your guards down and be, you know, to what to expect if you get pressured or just to cope and deal with certain everyday struggle, like, you know, friends asking you, you know, you come for a shot, and they mostly just trying to pressure you into drinking and stuff. But
yeah,
the thing they're teaching us is learning how to say no to your peers.
Right.
And if they respected you in that way, that they appreciate their decision not to use. And it gets pretty hard, though, where, you know, it gets lonely, it gets, you know, you get bored, and just things that, you know, you're not used to where before you were out there and you were with your friends having a good time or drinking or whatever. But for me, I hit rock bottom and I, you know, just my body couldn't take it no more of the alcohol.
Yeah.
And, I wasn't eating, I wasn't healthy, I wasn't looking out for myself. Where I lost a few jobs on account of my drinking, my family, where I've been separated for, 3 years now, and we're just slowly getting back and communicating with my girls.
Oh, yes.
And just do better, try to better myself. And Phoenix House has helped me with, you know, lots. I don't know where I'd be today if it weren't for the Phoenix House. I'd probably be dead or sick or whatever. It's amazing.
Well, the Phoenix House enabled you to deal with your challenges. Yeah. You yourself, what would you say are some things that you've done yourself that you feel that have managed to help you on your road to recovery?
Probably important to me that worked was communication, understanding, and just to listen and, you know, to have a better understanding of what certain things that you get yourself into day to day. Go out, you just gotta know what to expect and know how to handle these situations that you have to face every day. And it's not easy. It's pretty hard to try to stay focused on one thing and there's another something else, you know, pulling over, or, you know, with your family or job or whatever. So
just it's a day-to-day
struggle,
right? And do you find that every day is getting a little easier for you?
Easier, for me. Because I maintain just isolating is not healthy, but it's the choice I made for my health, like this COVID thing and everything else, sharing bottles and whatnot. So it's pretty understanding and pretty straightforward that it's not safe to be out there and with all these other people, you know, sharing whatever, bottles or cigarettes or whatever, because you don't know. So for me, not isolating, but, you know, just to try to stay away from downtown as much as I can and not to end up slipping or relapsing again, where that happened to me before.
Yeah.
But I got back up and, you know, I went back to the program and I started, you know, talking with the workers there at the AFM, and they pretty much made me understand that, you know, there are certain things I have to sacrifice and do to maintain my sobriety.
Well, Charles, I want to thank you for sharing your story, and most importantly, to share your advice for one that has walked that path. You know what your own challenges have been, and for guys that are out there hearing this, in closing, what would you say are some of the words of advice you would give to them, the ones that are dealing with the same struggles as you are right now?
Right now, so I don't know. I just advise them to, you know, work on whatever it is they're focusing on, their drinking, their family, or maybe getting their jobs back. But there are certain things you have to, you know, sacrifice in order to achieve what your goals are. And that's either by, you know, stop hanging around with certain friends or going to certain places where there's drinking, just to avoid that environment and try to, you know, stay strong, focused, and just be honest with yourself and with everybody else. You know, you don't have to lie to, you know. I've done that before, so I know that I'm talking to. And it wasn't pretty honest, but I learned to, you know, when I did do certain things like that, I felt guilty. I felt ashamed, you know. I couldn't face Michelle or whoever, the workers or even the clients. You know, I had to make amends to them and apologize that, you know, I slipped, I made a mistake. It happened, and, you know, all I can do is, you know, try again and go back and you know, figure out what went wrong.
Hey. And just to, well, thank you, Charles, thank you for your story. You are listening right now to Family Matters, and currently we are talking to some of our special guests from the Phoenix House, and we just finished talking to Charles, and we also have Leo Moose with us. And Leo has been with the Phoenix House for how long now, Leo?
I think I'm going on 3 months now.
3 months, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So where are you from, Leo?
Originally, I'm from South Indian Lake.
Okay.
But I have family in Spirit Lake. I've been living there 22 years.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about your experience growing up, and what are some of the experiences that you've had?
Well, I thought I had a great upbringing. I was raised by my grandparents, and at the age of 13, I was pulled away from them.
That's okay.
Excuse me. Yeah, I was pulled away from my grandparents, my grandpa. My granny passed away in 73, and apparently that's when I got taken away from my grandpa and up in a residential school.
And how long were you at the school for, Leo?
I was there from 73 to 76.
3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're there from time you're about 13 to about the time, about 16, 15. When you got out of the school,
excuse me.
Yeah, when you got out of school, where did you go after that?
I went back South Indian.
South Indian.
Yeah.
Okay. And how was your life after that?
I went back to my parents for a while, but. My grandfather was by himself, so I went back to my grandpa. I lived with my grandpa till until he passed away.
Oh yes. And the as you growing up, as an adult, what has been some of your experiences in South St. George Lake and after that?
Well, tell you the truth, I've been away from South Indian for 28 years now. Both my parents are deceased. All I got is my kids and my grandkids over there.
Okay.
So I feel I felt like there was not really loss there for me after I lost my parents. Mm-hmm. So I felt it was time to move on. I moved on. My parents, my grandparents were all gone. So
what brought you to the Phoenix House?
Well, I was staying at the YWCA in this person that I became a friend with, Kim, told me, recommended Phoenix House for me. And I said, wonderful. I think it'll be a nice change. And that's why I had my interview with Michelle at YWCA.
What has been your experience like at the house? Like, what has helped you?
What has helped me is in so many ways. I'll be responsible, finding myself again, finding how important small things that were meaningful to me that I didn't pay no attention to. Mm-hmm. Now that my mind is clear, you know, I even appreciate my cup of coffee in the morning so much. And just to see people being happy, saying hi, good morning, hey, it's nice.
Yeah.
And Phoenix House has done some good things for me, you know. There wasn't much that I had that those two other places I had, but when I came down to Phoenix House, was total nice change, you know. Give me time to think, make a plan, look at all the resources that are available that could, you know, help me be on my way to achieve what I'm pursuing.
So for guys that have gone through similar experiences as you, what would be some of the advice that you would give them now that you've had some time to reflect on both the past and where you're at right now? What are some of those advice that you'd give them?
Some advice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can, if you know somebody that went through this like me, for instance, you know, if you know me and you're out there, you hear me talking, I got some time for you if you want to talk to me. I'll make myself available. Share with you.
Do you find that the hardest part is actually a person starting to talk about the experiences?
The experiences are hard, and talking about it is a little hard, but once you start talking, you know, you feel a hell of a lot better instead of letting that thing bottle up inside you and eat you away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very good to get rid of it.
Leo, I think people have a lot to learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you for being here today. Sorry of the experiences, but at the same time, I'm thankful that you were able to talk a little bit about it.
Yeah,
and I'm very glad to hear of your positive experience with the Phoenix House.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that a few times about it. It gives you a chance to just reflect and that coffee. I know what you're saying. I like my McDonald's coffee myself.
Yeah. And, you know, that's about being responsible. It's just like being back at home. You're in your own house.
Yes.
You know, you got to look after your house. You don't mismanage your house. You don't misuse anything. You honor your house. That's your shrine.
So who does most of the meals, the cooking?
Riley and me, we both cook a lot.
You guys cook a lot.
We like to cook, you know. Everybody likes to eat. Enjoy our meals.
That's good. Yeah. Well, thank you, Leo. Thank you once again to Charles Bonner and Leo Moose, our special guest from the Phoenix House. You have been listening to MAPS Family Matters. In our next show, we will be continually talking about the Phoenix House. So please join us for our next programming, and everyone stay safe.